You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
We're back. The second half of the SEC Media Days, day two. We've had quite a lot of activity, and it's not over yet. We just talked to our final coach of the afternoon. We have another coach joining us, Derek Mason, who has done this routine a number of times. And
I tell you what, it's a good thing I had coach, because we were in the green room over there. I was slamming half a donut, and coach goes, hey, what are we doing it for? We're on together. I'm like, what do you mean? Had no idea. Totally forgot we were coming on, Paul. So if it weren't for quarterback having his coach, I wouldn't be here.
That very much. So
teammates.
It is. We're in Nashville. We had to show the love, because Coach Lee made it out of here earlier. So coach, you've done this from all sides now. What's this part like?
This part's been fun. It's good to be part of a team. It's an accomplished team. People who understand, what it is to be in pressure situations. We just went through a two-minute drill.
Yeah, so, we did.
So the idea of being around people that love doing what they do, being with you guys has been fun. A lot of fun, more fun than I ever could have imagined. Getting in front of an audience and being able to talk ball, talk all things about SEC. This footprint is phenomenal. Commissioner Sankey has provided great leadership, but being with this SEC network.
Okay, so answer me this.
It's cool.
Because I just talked to a coach. Every coach that comes up here has one mission.
Yeah.
Not to say anything.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
You need to talk to these guys. It's not that bad.
You know what? It's not that bad. I think these coaches are afraid of their words being misconstrued, mm-hmm. and having to answer in a different form, because when they get back, they're about being on message. Right. And I think, like, in this space, they're just worried about saying the wrong thing. I'm comfortable now, so I can say whatever I want to say.
Yeah, you can let it go.
Doesn't matter,
now.
Right? I can say exactly what I want to say.
I mean, Jordan, Drink yesterday went out of his way not to say anything. And he kept talking to himself, like, I'm not going to say anything. I want to, but I don't want to, but I can't. Right. I mean, it's absurd.
And then Jimbo will tell you one thing and then contradict it the next. And you're really not sure which one's the truth and which one's the lie.
I missed his interview in here. He came up here, and I thought he was for Jimbo.
Well, yeah, because he told you he was calling. He was going to let Bobby call plays.
I didn't know that was a scoop.
Yeah, and up there he was like,
I thought that was established, 9 months ago.
He may call some, a lot of them, but not all of them. It was, and I'm like, of course. So I don't know what to believe now. Was he lying to you, or was he lying to them?
Jimbo Fisher was not lying.
You're right.
I defend his honor.
Yeah.
Coaches don't lie, do they?
No.
Mislead, maybe. No. You can mislead the media, though. You kind of want to sometimes. Keep them on their toes.
You try to sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, we're shell game, right?
Yeah.
Hey, see it here, move it here.
Yep.
And that's what we try to do, and sometimes we get in our own way. Coaches get in their own way.
Take us behind the curtain. Before you get here.
Right.
I'm sure everybody's got a publicity guy. And does he come down and say, Coach, we need to talk about this? What happens? You don't just wing it, do you?
I think the older you get, the more comfortable you become in this space to be able to give your presentation of who you are and how you see your program. I think when you first start, it's about a script. And that script is built for you, and it's about hitting this point, this point, this point, and this point. And the problem is, it's not authentic. And so so what happens is you come in here, you get your points across, but nobody believes what you're saying.
Right.
And really, the people who you need to believe is your fan base. Mm-hmm. Your fan base has got to believe exactly where you're going. And if this group is not convinced, your fan base is not convinced.
I remember I had to kind of learn how to do TV, because you think, like, playing quarterback in the SEC and doing what I'd done, like, I spent a lot of time on TV. But I remember Coach Franklin before this. I remember SEC Media Days. It was kind of like, here's what you're allowed to say. never say this, week one, and only week one. Never go past, you know, it's always about this week, not last week during the season, and SEC media days. Only talk about one game. That's the first one on the schedule.
That's
people
right.
would ask about Tennessee. No, I'm just worried about week one. Yeah. So I was like a robot at times, and I had to be like, oh, wait, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have Coach yelling at me over my shoulder
it's
on
true.
Set anymore. Yeah.
We're talking to Coach Mason and Jordan Rodgers. Jordan, let me ask you about our next guest,
mm-hmm.
Will Rodgers.
Who is it? Oh, Will.
And because he gets so much praise, and deservedly so, give the audience a primer on what you expect from him as he plays, seems like his like 19th
yeah.
year in the SEC.
Look, I think stats are very misleading. Not always, but I think the sheer number of stats don't accurately depict, and I think sometimes it construes whether he's good or it's the offense. And in that offense, in the air raid, which is not anymore, but under Mike Leach in the air raid, it was a lot of completions, and it was throwing the ball control. He's a really good quarterback. And the stats tell you he puts up a lot of yards, but what the stats don't tell you is he can make small window throws. He can push
yes.
the ball downfield. He can get it up and down. He can manipulate the trajectory. So with this new scheme under Kevin Barbe, bringing App State's flavor to this, they're going to be more balanced. And what that's going to result in is more explosive plays downfield. I mean, last year, they were second to last in the country in explosive pass plays resulting in 40 yards or more. App State was eighth in the country.
That's right.
So you provide a little bit of balance. Now, instead of drop eight every play, it's going to be seven guys. Sometimes you're going to face some pressure. You're going to have more opportunities to push the ball downfield. So Will Rodgers won't put up the same numbers that he did last year, but he's going to be better. He's going to show he's a better quarterback than even what he's put on tape so far, because he's going to have more opportunity to do that. So I'm excited about him. I think he's got labeled as an air raid quarterback because that's all you see him do, but I think he's much more than that.
Coach, answer is this, because you know, at a lot of schools in the SEC, especially this year, there are legitimate quarterback battles. And we hear, okay, you know, we're not going to know till first game. But Hugh Freeze actually said something very honest today. He said, we got four, but it's going to be two very quickly. How do you go into a campaign with too many quarterbacks?
I heard earlier the whole idea of, you know, you can have a two quarterback system. I believe that you can have a two quarterback system nowadays if those guys are different.
Different.
We saw it in the NFL a couple of years ago when you had I can't think of who the backup quarterback was that played behind Drew, but he came in. Taysom Hill.
Yeah,
Hill. Taysom Hill. There we go.
Taysom Hill.
Well, I don't know why I'm answering.
I think nowadays in this game of college football, the idea is how do you apply pressure to the defense?
Right.
And being able to have a two quarterback system, it's hard for a defensive coordinator to prepare.
Right.
It just is. There's only so many reps. And when you talk about stopping a pocket passer and then stopping zone rerun game, there's just not enough time in the week. And so is it a pressure scheme that you apply? Is it more, coverage driven?
Mm-hmm.
I think right now, just looking at it from my standpoint, he's truthful about what he's saying, but he also understands that he's got to get the best players on the field.
Right.
And sometimes it's about, disguise. It's about the shell game. It's
yeah.
about being able to do what you know that you need to do in order to apply pressure and really score points. And that's what this season is going to be about for Auburn. If they're going to have any success, they got to score points. They got to keep their defense off the field.
How many years have you gone into a fall camp, and even let's say couple weeks up to the season, because we hear all the time coaches, right, true quarterback battles, and there's coaches that maybe like Kirby Smart this year that says it's a quarterback battle, it's open, sure. maybe it's not, but how many times truly in your career, whether you're a head coach or part of a staff, was it truly unknown, 50-50, could have gone either way all the way up to the wire? Because I feel like most of the time you got a pretty good idea, like unless something goes really bad with one guy. Am I wrong?
You know what, you're exactly right. Looking back, the only time that I can remember, when I was at Stanford, Andrew Luck was the quarterback.
Yeah.
And
that was not a quarterback.
Yeah. There was no quarterback controversy.
Right.
Kevin Hogan was waiting his turn, and, you know, when he got his turn, he did what he did. But when I got to Vandy, I can remember McCrary and another quarterback that I had. I mean, a quarterback battle, right? And I'm looking, and I'm like, man, it was really a quarterback battle. Yeah. I didn't know going into game one. And then a couple of years later, the only time that I was sure was when I had Kyle Shurmur.
Yeah.
Okay, and he played through his career. But then after that, it was always this quarterback battle. I think coaches know what guy gives them the best chance.
Right.
But I think Hugh Freeze was being extremely honest when he talked about his team. He doesn't know right now. I think he's got a lot of questions about his football team, and those things are going to be answered when they start the season.
How concerned are you, though, guys, when it's a different world where, you know, if you got three or four like Lane Kiffin and you find out quickly you're not getting near the starting job, you know, hightail it out or start to think about that?
I mean, it was never a thought in my mind as a player back then, right?
Right.
The rules are very different now, but it was – I was in a competition every single year I ever played. High school football, JUCO, Vandy. I never had a job going to the camp. So it was always kind of up in the air. I said, hey, I'm here, and I'm going to wait for my opportunity. If I'm not the guy week one, I'm going to wait for that opportunity. But now in the transfer portal and be able to go and play right away, it's serious. And I think your job, the coach's jobs – become much harder because you're not just recruiting high school kids. You're re-recruiting your players, and not just in the off season.
That's right.
During the year, you're re-recruiting their buy-in week in and week out to make sure that they're still there because you
Absolutely.
Need depth. You can't just have one guy, so you need to keep this guy bought in and make sure that he's going to stick around even if he's not the guy, which is tough.
It is tough. We've seen it. You look at what's happened with college football, and now you have to have a second and possibly a third quarterback. Mm-hmm. You just do. Right, so why do you see a lot of these quarterback competitions extending through camp? Georgia, Alabama, they have
around.
A fair idea, but the idea, is it a true competition? Because if it's a competition and I lose, I think I can handle that as a player. But
right.
if I felt like there was no competition or that was only on paper,
yeah.
I'm out the door as soon as they tell me another quarterback.
That's a great point. So if
being
Kirby
announced,
comes out and says, it's Carson Beck, hands down, right? Well, he says that too early in summer.
Can't
a couple of those guys might be like, okay, I got time
gone.
To go find another opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Such a different world, isn't it?
It is. It is. Different world now. It's fast. It's quick. But here's what I'll say to that, too. I think when you look at what Lane Kiffin has going on down there, I saw Spencer Sanders a year ago
mm-hmm.
at Oklahoma State. And what I can tell you about Spencer is – he's Mahomes-like.
Ooh,
interesting.
When you watch the tape, when you look at
– those are magic words.
No,
yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I saw him every day in practice.
Yeah.
When you see a guy in games and in practice, we started the season at Oklahoma State a year ago, 6-1. Okay?
Yeah.
Overtime loss to TCU. When he got hurt, the season started to go downhill just due to the simple fact that experienced quarterback who knew how to lead, who knew how to play big in pressure situations, disappeared. Then everybody else had to stand up, and we weren't in that space.
Right.
You look at the quarterback room at Ole Miss, and that may be the best quarterback room in the SEC
in
terms of the depth. And so
Say Alabama had the best quarterback room.
I don't know, actually. That's a good – I don't know.
I'm just looking
it's deep.
At –
It's
I'm just
deep,
looking
yeah,
at,
no doubt. They got three good ones, but Ole Miss may have two better ones. I don't know. That's
well, let's talk about playing experience, right?
Yeah, that's
okay, when you talk
huge.
About playing experience, okay, the experience of that quarterback room itself is going to lend itself to strong competition.
Spencer's thrown for like 6,000 yards in his career already. I mean, he's played a lot of football.
He's played a lot of football and won a lot of football.
Yeah.
He actually went to a Big 12 – title game.
Yeah.
So, like, when you start to look at, you know, what that looks like down there, it's going to be interesting to see how that battle looms as we're talking about quarterback battles.
Yeah, that's a great point because the Alabama room, I think they're all very talented. I think Ty's got a high ceiling, Ty Simpson, that is. Tyler Buckner hasn't played a ton of football at all. I mean, Ty hasn't either, obviously. Jalen sparingly, obviously. They're all talented, but you can't compromise on experience in this league. I think you make a good point. I didn't even think about it from that standard. And I didn't know that Sanders was that kind of dude.
Listen, this has been fun.
Hey, it's always good to spend time with you, Paul.
I don't know what your plans are in the future, but this ought to be considered.
I think he locked in. He's considered.
Well, I tell you what, when you got a Jordan Rodgers and a Paul Feinbaum and you're Derek Mason, you're just trying to absorb it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of wisdom, experience, and
let
me tell you, when you look that good, it's special.
Coach, look forward to talking many more times. We'll take a short break.
Thank you.
One of those quarterbacks that we've been praising and raving about, Will Rogers, will join us shortly.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Oh, I've always wanted to be introduced to the Opry. Probably not happening. But I can get a good NIL deal with this next guy. Jim Cavell joining us, Will Rogers, in a few minutes. Jim, good to talk to you again. It's always great to see you. And I think we talk to you so often about, okay, what's happening with NIL, what's Congress, what's happening here. But I think sometimes there are more things going on, and I know you are at the vanguard of everything in this space. What are we not talking about enough?
Well, I think that the reality is a lot of the stuff we are talking about, NIL, the transfer portal, the size and growth of the college sports business has to do with the teams represented in this room and the dominance that these football teams and their athletes and coaches have had over the past two decades. I mean, that's really led us here to the point where we've got a portal now where athletes can leave the same way coaches leave for jobs, or we have NIL that allows athletes to make more than they've made in the past. But I think the bigger picture is, what's going to happen with big-time college football players when it comes to employment? Because whether it's employment or whether it's sharing revenue, big-time college football players are in a situation where, you know, they deserve probably a bigger piece of the pie. And the way that it's looked at is, if a program, let's just say an SEC school, does $215 million in gross revenue as an athletic department, and let's say $130 million of that comes from football. Well, at the pro level, $65 million of that $130 million would go to payroll for players. And that's what's the big discrepancy that's unlike anything in American labor that's being looked at right now in the Johnson versus NCAA cases. So I think we need to think about, like, when we talk about NIL and who's getting what and if we can share data and everything else, the bigger picture is, will this move to salaries? And is it just for football players? Because the rest of college athletes have it pretty good.
Jim, I agree. It's a really interesting point. But let me ask you about the elephant in the room, and that's this drumbeat. Everybody's saying the same thing. We have to do this, we have to do that. But realistically, that seems like a big hill to climb right now. So assuming that Congress doesn't jump in anytime soon, and nobody's betting on that, where do we end up here in a couple of years?
Even if Congress jumps in, we're going to be in a situation where they're going to create uniformity across all these state laws, right? If we did get a bill this year, it's going to address NIL. and just create uniformity.
That's probably not going to happen.
And it's probably not going to happen. But even if it did, it would just address NIL. There's so much beyond that. Okay. You know, the NCAA wants antitrust exemptions that would give them the ability to set more rules to eliminate any possibility of student athletes becoming employees. And to
is that really what it's about?
Well, yeah, I think they want to preserve the model as much as they can. And, you know, the other side of it is most athletes wouldn't benefit from becoming employees because of the liabilities they would take on, whether it's paying taxes on the benefits they get, such as their tuition and education, whether it's, you know, just being in a situation where their assets aren't going to outweigh their liabilities. But big-time college football players would be in a situation where their assets would outweigh their liabilities. And I think that's the interesting part of all this is it's not really all the athletes we're talking about. We're talking about big-time college football players and probably basketball, men's and women's players as well. And the reason we're talking about it, Paul, is because when the NBA deal is up for media rights in 2025 and it gets bigger, all the players benefit from it because 50% of gross revenue goes to payroll. But when a new CFP deal happens, and when a new March Madness deal happens, or when a new SEC conference deal happens media-wise, the players don't get any more.
Are they coming after that at some point in the future?
I think that the players will sit at the table at some point.
Okay.
But I think also that you know, Joe Castiglione did a great job talking about this with On3. If anybody read that article, did a great job saying, we need plan B, we need plan C, we need plan D, we need plan E. We got to start thinking that way. And I think if we do, a lot of people think that there's ways to use NIL, it's called BNIL, broadcast NIL, to share revenue with athletes without them becoming employees. But we got to be innovative.
Let's continue this conversation. Jim, thank you.
Absolutely.
Really fantastic to see
you.
Yeah,
good to see you too,
Jim
Paul.
Cavell joining us. We will take a break. Will Rogers joining us shortly. We are live at SEC Media Days.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Elvis Presley, born in Tupelo, Mississippi. Wonder if he was a Bulldog fan. Anyway, we welcome you back as we say hello to the quarterback of the Mississippi State Bulldogs, Will Rogers. Will, you've made it. We've been talking about you forever. We just had Jordan Rogers talking about your numbers and predictions. We had Coach Arnett. Before we get to the season, I'm really curious about this day. I mean, you are in the prime of your career, experiencing media days. What's it like?
It's awesome. It's just a privilege, to be here with Jaden Cromedy and Woody Marks, first of all, and then, you know, like I said, to be selected as one of the three players from Mississippi State to represent our program. It's just an honor.
You've done a lot of media. You don't seem overwhelmed by the task. I mean, you've done such a great job, especially last year during the tragedy with Coach and what you said and how you represented the team. But going through everything you have to go through as a quarterback, when you talk to all these people and you get all these questions, I mean, do you have to kind of focus like, okay, I'm gonna have fun with it, but I don't want to like be the talk of the country tomorrow.
No, yeah, you definitely have to like watch what you say for sure. You don't want to be quoted on Twitter or something like that, and you know, like you said, be the talk of the country tomorrow. So, I mean, you want to have fun. You know, we have fun. This is a fun little deal we do for a week that SEC puts on. So, we have a good time. But like you said, kind of keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah, no, and I would think as a quarterback at this point, you've already had that drill because the media is not something that you're unfamiliar with. So, I mean, sometimes you get a coach or a player that comes here and they look out here, but when you're the quarterback at Mississippi State, you see a lot of media. I asked you off the air, and I'm curious because we all get obsessed over about bulletin board material, but do players really pay that much attention to what all the talking heads say?
Yeah, I mean, I guess every player's different. I mean, I try to block it out, especially once the season gets here. I try and get off all my social media and things like that, and like I said, keep the main thing the main thing. I think if you get caught on social media and wrapped up in that, then you're worried about the wrong thing.
So I think about, okay, I'm not going to pay attention. That's easier said than done, though, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, especially if they're talking bad about you.
Does that motivate you, though? Because great athletes have an edge, and it seems like if somebody said, well, I was sitting, tell you a quick story, two years ago, I was flying to Tuscaloosa. This guy tapped me on the shoulder and he introduced himself. And I frankly didn't even catch his name. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're on a plane. You can't.
Yeah.
He said, I heard what you said about my son a couple of months ago. And I'm like going, oh, my goodness. and I told him. And I said, okay. It was Bryce Young's dad. And I'm like, he had not started yet. He was the backup. And I just said something like, I don't even know what I said. And whatever it was wrong. Yeah. But it was an eye opener because it was an innocuous comment. Well, it wasn't like I said Bryce Young will never be a Heisman Trophy winner. I just said, let's better hope Mac Jones doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I wonder on that same question, you got. Family not that far away. I bet they pay attention.
Yeah, well, they definitely pay attention. Got to keep an eye on my mom and sister sometimes. So,
well, I'm sure they mean well, but I've had the wrath of some. Moms aren't the worst. The worst are coaches' wives. They will they will come after you.
Absolutely, I'm sure they will.
Let me talk about the transition because. You were such a big part of what Coach Leach did, and I still, as I alluded to, the eloquence of your tribute to him and everything you were forced into say. I mean, that is nobody can predict anything in life, but for a young person who's the leader of a team that still had a game to play, how difficult was that for you and for everyone being one of the team leaders?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's extremely difficult. I mean, the main thing was it just happened out of nowhere, I mean, one day he's coaching you, and then the next day he's in the hospital, so it's kind of out of nowhere. I mean, I think the biggest thing for myself and the team at that time was just having each other, we didn't go on a big break, and we didn't have a lot of time off. We were preparing for the bowl game, so we were in Starkville practicing for the bowl game at the time, so... to be with your teammates and, to have your brothers there to kind of lean on and, go through that tough time together. I mean, that was what kept us all together and helped us win that ball game.
Well, I could feel it, through the television, but I would think there was just such enormous pressure, too, because you said it, and, I mean, you were playing for him.
Mm-hmm.
You had a coach who... Be helpful if you won the first game. It wouldn't be the end of the world considering the tragedy. But did you guys? You dug down and man, what an effort!
Yeah, no, it's something that we wanted to do. Like you said, it wouldn't be like a huge, probably wouldn't be a big deal. And I'm sure the outside world will understand if we would just go in there and lose the game. I'm sure the outside world would feel sorry for us and for what happened to Coach Leach and our program. But that's not what we wanted to do. We wanted to go in there and win the game and play for Coach Leach and end up winning the game. So.
Tell us about the transition, because clearly things are different.
Yes, sir.
That's always going to be the case. A few new twists to the offense. At this point in your career, what has it been like to adjust to what you had to adjust to and what you want to adjust to, but it's still different?
Yeah, no, it's different, but I've loved it. I've loved every second of it. I think Coach Arnett's done a great job, hiring the right staff offensively. I think Coach Barbe's done a really good job of, bringing his stuff in, but also realizing that, you know, there are some things that we did good here, and you know, kind of matching his plays to fit our personnel, and, you know, ultimately just finding, you know, best ways to, you know, get our guys the ball in space. You know, we have some pretty good dynamic playmakers that, you know, return punts, return kicks for us last year. So, you know, ultimately just trying to find ways to get those guys the ball, and we think good things will happen if they got the ball.
Well, it's a different world in college athletics. You've lived through it. I mean, at this point in your career, you've lived through COVID, all that that entailed, NIL 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Take us inside that locker room on the NIL issue and help us understand what players say about it and what players think about it and how it affects them, and or does it really affect them?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I probably have a little bit of a different opinion than most people. I mean, I think it's definitely beneficial for athletes, and I definitely think collegiate athletes should be able to, you know, use their name as a benefit for them. But, you know, I think at some point it can get out of hand, you know, in terms of the transfer portal and things like that, because, I mean, you know, you get a freshman that comes in and has a great year, and, you know, one school's offering him X amount of dollars and X amount of stuff with NIL, I mean, and then he's out of the window. So, you know, I definitely think in the next 5 years or so, something has to be done, or it's just going to become a madhouse. You know, after every last game of the year, after every bowl game, you know, you're going to see guys hopping in the portal like crazy, and just, you know, the highest bidder wins. So, something I think needs to be done.
It's fascinating, because, I mean, there was a time I talked to so many different players in the past. You went to a school and you did the best, and that was your school. Mm-hmm. And I think the older fans don't get it, but you're one of the few players I've heard say what you've said. As while it's going on around you, and these are your brothers, these are your teammates, how do you compartmentalize? Okay, that's their right. I'll do what I want to do. My circumstances might be different, but he's still my teammate, and I don't know if he's going to be my teammate tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, you know, like you said. I mean, you don't know what that person's going to do, and, I mean, you try to, you know, empathize and really understand, like, what they're going through, and they might need to make the best decision for themselves, but, you know, also understand the good for the team. Like, I mean, I think this guy would really help us out, and we need this guy to be on our football team.
Do you, as a teammate, when all this is going on, what do you do? I mean, you know what's happening. You know it's legal within, mm-hmm. we think.
Yeah.
Do you try to talk to them, or are you told leave it to the coaches?
I mean, I think just as a quarterback, I mean, if it's a guy that is helping your team win, I mean, I definitely think you're trying to talk to him and, you know, trying whatever you can to keep him on your team. Right. And obviously we did that with some people, and some people we didn't. And that's probably a question for Coach Arnett, not myself, but I know there's guys on our team that I'm glad stayed at Mississippi State, probably had other chances to go somewhere else, but I feel like that they're in the right position at Mississippi State, and I look forward to that.
I always talk to quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks, because you guys have competed, you've been to camps, 7-on-7s. You know, fans love to hate the other guy, but I've been struck, especially at an event like this, how it's a fraternity within the fraternity. Mm-hmm. Can you share some tales about other quarterbacks that you communicate with, stay in touch with, and obviously you'll see them on a Saturday for a second?
Yeah, no. It's just, I think the biggest thing for me was just being able to go down to the Manning camp the past 3 years. So this was my third year going, so I've gotten to see a lot of cool guys. I mean, Brock Purdy's my roommate 1 year. Drew Pine was my roommate. Luke Altmyer. You know, several guys that, you know, are going to play in big college and NFL ball have been there at that camp. So I've gotten to connect with a lot of those guys, and it's just cool to see that, you know, while as a quarterback we all want the best for ourselves, you know, that, you know, we can come together for a weekend like that and kind of hang out with each other and realize, like you said, it's a special fraternity that we're in.
Well, it is. Speaking of special, it's been very special to spend some time with you.
Appreciate it.
Are all cheering for you and great success this year and afterwards, and thank you for coming up here, Will.
No, thank you for having me. Appreciate your time.
It's been our pleasure. Well, Will Rogers joining us. We have a lot more to do, and we will come back after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we continue here on a stormy night in Nashville. One thing you don't find, you don't think about when you're inside a building like this, could be in a submarine, but there is inclement weather outside. You guys obviously have found that out. I'm talking to Colin Beiersdorf and Owen Warden. These are two young journalists, one from Auburn, the other from Georgia. So, Owen, you're the dog. I don't mean that literally. But what is this your first? I guess I'm assuming it. I never assume in this business, but I'm assuming this is your first media day.
Yeah, this is my first media day. Obviously, I mean, the young face kind of gives it away that I'm a little bit younger, but I mean, I am going in my senior year, but I mean, this is my first media day, but it's been an absolute pleasure to be here and be able to talk to everybody and just be in this environment, you know.
What about you, Colin? I'm also assuming.
Yeah, first media day for me. I'm just shocked at how big it is.
Yeah.
I've done March Madness. I thought that'd be the peak, but here we are, and this blew me out of the water today.
It is. I mean, it's hard to really explain it. I don't think television does it justice. The absolute chaos. Not right now, but. Early in the morning, when everyone is converging, and there's really still nothing of great news value, but it doesn't stop everyone from following around. So tell us about your day following the dogs, and what did you do?
Well, yeah, I mean, you get started early, you get kind of prepared, you get everything kind of ready, and I mean, coming into this, we kind of knew what was going around the whole Georgia program, but I mean. A lot of it is just kind of preparing for a lot of the things that Kirby kind of says, that the players really kind of preach, is that consistency, that never giving up and not having complacency. That was something that Kirby really talked about going into the spring game, going into G-Day, and I wasn't surprised about him talking about it today. So I was definitely prepared for it, and the fact that he talked about it, just making sure that I was keeping up with it, getting to talk to Zed Van Pran, getting to talk to Brock and Kamari. I mean, just keeping up with those guys. It's been a lot of – and then also just touching base with all the other guys. You know, Georgia's got transfers. Ryland Goede went to Mississippi State, so talking to Will Rogers and seeing how that connection's been forming and finding whatever connections you can. You know, you got a couple – I mean, Auburn plays Georgia every single year, so, you know, you got to talk to those guys, see how that experience has been, and, you know, just kind of playing both sides of that coin. I think it's important to get both perspectives there.
Colin, what about you?
So I come from the TV side, so a little different. Been chasing Hugh Freeze around with the camera today. Just really trying to figure out what this Auburn team is going to be under Hugh Freeze and this new coaching staff. We've got 42 new players coming to play for the Tigers, so just a crazy new team, and having to figure out what exactly that's going to look like going forward this year.
Let me ask both of you, and this is obviously the adult here, that just and the former student reporter. I'm always interested in young people and what they're thinking about and wanting to do in an evolving mass media that is so different than it was a couple of years ago. So I ask you, Owen, what I sound like a parent now, like what happens after your 10 years trying to get a degree at UGA when you know one more football season, Mom. What happens? What do you want to do?
Well, I've always loved the broadcast side of things. I mean, I've been watching you forever. I've been watching this stuff since I was a kid, and I grew up in an era where, I mean, television, network television, and sports was kind of intertwined. And what we've seen a lot, and what we've seen a lot of from ESPN and stuff like that, is we've seen guys like Pat McAfee really rise up and really kind of find their place. So I think just kind of trying to do a little bit of everything. You know, I've job shadowed plenty with TV networks and stuff like that, and I've done tons of writing with the Red and Black, which has been incredible, and other internships like the Oglethorpe Echo that I'm a part of now, and I'm even doing podcast series where I talk to several different not even Georgia, but SEC student journalists from their own papers, and trying to go in all these different routes and have different things and different skills, I think is so important, especially in today's world of journalism, because being able to do a little bit of everything is so important. And I think that's something that I've continued to want to round out my skills and work in the television side, work in the print side, and work in the podcast side. So ideally, I can get to a position like this, be on TV, be on networks and stuff like that, and contribute at a high level and just be a valuable asset to somewhere.
Colin, in a couple of seconds.
Yeah, so I want to be like one of these guys working behind the scenes.
Okay.
That's what fascinates me. Work for War Eagle Productions. What are we doing tomorrow? I might be here.
We got a spot for you.
I just want to work behind the scenes.
Well, we started doing this years ago with a student. And it's, we do it on the road, and it's just one of the things that I love the most about this job is getting to meet a lot of young folks and see how things have changed. So Colin and Owen, I have a feeling we'll be seeing you again. We'll hopefully be in both Auburn and Athens, and we are counting on you coming out and rejoining us. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you
awesome.
So much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. We will take a break. A couple more hours to go as we continue here in Nashville.